TheYeshiva.net.
We say every morning in Tehillim, we say it by davening before Baruch Shamar, Mizmer Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David, right? It's from Tehillim, chapter 30. The Ashkenazim actually start davening that way. Svardim say it after Hoidu. So the opening line of it is over there, Remimcha Hashem Kadilisani, I exalt you because you lifted me up. Hashem Elokai Shivati Elachav Tirpeini, Hashem Ha'elisa Min Sha'oil Navshi, Chiyisani Meyar Divar. You have lifted me up from Sha'oil, from the grave, from the abyss. My soul you have lifted up. You have given me life from descending in a bird and a sister. So somebody came over after the shin, he said that now he understands it differently. Usually it's, you lifted me up, Misha'oil, you lifted me up from there. He says, now it's Halisa Misha'oil. From the Sha'oil you lifted me up. The Sha'oil lifted me up.
the lift comes from Sha'oil.
Yeah. It's not, you didn't allow me to fall, or if I was there, you schlepped me out. If that was the point, then would you have to go down there? Halisa Misha'oil, from the Sha'oil itself, there was an aliyah. Moir Sha'oil Vayal. So now, we actually go to the second half of the Maimer. The Maimer is like conceptually divided into two parts. The first part deals with the Lamata Adin Tachlis, how deep and far reality goes down, how distorted reality can become. And as we know, reality can become very distorted. And within all those distortions, and within all those deviations, one should know that hineka. Never ever feel, never think you're isolated, you're alone, you're detached, you're hopeless. Hineka, atziya sha'oil hineka. And the same way, like when if I go up to heaven. Now he goes to the second half of it. And that is, what does it really mean, hineka? First you discussed how lamata it goes. Now he discusses that the oirin soif is lamata adin tachlis. Is it still really, how much light is here? As we'll see. So it's page welding in this kuntres basi lagani, page chavdalad. No, not measurement. You'll see. In other words, what does it really mean that the oirin soif is lamata adin tachlis and it remains ein soif? That the infinity, the truth is present even in that place.
Yeah.
Right. The Ein Sof is Lamata, yeah. That paradox. Right. Yeah, so, Se'ivav, Perikvav, Mamshech Ba'amaymer. In today's shiur, we're going to be discussing one of the very, very deep sugyas, one of the profound and complex discussions in the literature of Kabbalah and Chassidus, especially in Chabad Chassidus. But the big, one of the very rich elements here is that when he finishes the discussion, at least the beginning of the discussion, he translates what it means in Avodah. Sometimes, in very deep, you know, concepts and realities, it just, fine, it's very interesting, abstract ideas. But actually, defines clearly the relevance, what it means in a person's life. How it translates. Huh? Yeah. Hamaisa weaker always. So he says, Mamshech ba Maimer, continues in the Maimer. I also want to thank Reb Shimshin and Rivka Rishashansky for their sponsorship. Le'el Nishmas, Reb Zalman Yudah, Ben Reb Shalom Yeshaya, Daich Zichrona Levracha. Thank you. Mamshech ba Maimer, continues in the Maimer. V'kol zehu lefisha oiru ein soif be'etzem. As I told you, this Maimer, the Rebbe every year, he quotes the Basi Lagani from his father-in-law, the Rebbe Dayatz, the original, line by line. And then he elaborates and explains what he's trying to explain in every line. So now he goes to the next part. So he continues in the original Maimer Basi Lagani of Tavshin Yud. What's all this? All this, that Va'ata Mechaya is Kulam. Even in the lowest places, Ulefisha Oiru Ein Seif Be'etzim. It's because the Oir, the light, is essentially Ein Seif. It's essentially infinity. Al kein gein soif gam kein lispashtusa. And that's why it's also extended infinitely. Beribi hamadreges vishtalshlos ad lamata mata mamish. Descending many levels and all of the gradations called vishtalshlos all the way to the lowest space mamish. Ubekol mokem shonimshachum espashet ene bispilas vishtanos klal. And wherever it extends and is present, doesn't get changed and affected and compromised and condensed and filtered and transformed from its pristine infinity. Why? Because it's Ein Sof Be'etzem. Because it's Ein Sof Be'etzem, we'll soon see what that means. It's essentially infinity. So therefore, wherever it is, it remains in its full presence and glory. The Einoi Kedimyon HaNeshama V'Haguf. You would want to compare it to a soul and a body. Here we're talking the Nefesh HaBahamas, the biological soul that is inside the body and gives life to the body. So he says, Einoi Kedimyon HaNeshama V'Haguf. The HaNeshama Harei Mispa'elas Memikri HaGuf. The soul, by definition, is affected by the body. There's a real shidduch here. Husband affects the wife, and a wife affects the husband. You know, if somebody says in a marriage, I'm the best partner to have, you know why? Nothing you do will affect me. You could say whatever you want. I have so much confidence and dignity. Yeah? You could do whatever you want, say whatever you want. You're not going to even get close to me. You know, what type of marriage is that? Fine, so get married to the wall. Get married to your car. Yeah. Also the Nefesh HaBahamas. Yeah. Neshama here in terms of the engine of the body. The engine of the body. Yeah. Yeah. So it's, we know that the engine of the body, the spiritual life force of the body is completely beyond the body. Completely beyond the body. The body itself is a vehicle for the electricity of what we call the soul. And that's the seat of the consciousness. And that is that which is responsible for all functionality of the body, like we spoke earlier of Atam Chayas Kulam, right? In every body, body, in every guf, there's a neshama, but the neshama is affected by the guf, just like the guf is affected by the neshama. There's a relationship. There's a very real relationship. It's intimate. They become one. They become so one that you could, though in our time especially, I want to even deny that there's such a thing of a soul. Some say it's just a machine. And that's it, it's just a machine. It's a wonderful machine. That's how close they become. To the point that you can even deny that there's something outside of the body. That's how intimately connected the two become. And the reason is because the concept, HaNeshama Harei Mispa'elas Memikrei HaGuf. The guf lives from the neshama, and the neshama is defined and affected and transformed by the experience of the body. Aval ha'oir ha'liki. So you would naturally say that the same should be applied when you're speaking about Oir Ein Sof. The Oir Ein Sof is the source even of the soul. It's the life of everything. It's the soul of everything. So of course, if it comes somewhere and it has a relationship with it, and it gives it life and it creates it, I affect you, and it's the other way around as well. That's what a real relationship means. We do affect each other. Like in a marriage, the husband tells the wife, what you say does have an impact on me. The wife tells what you say has an impact on me. Because that's the choice of a relationship. The choice of a relationship is I'm not living in my own world. That's why some people don't want to get married. Or have a very hard time. Or even if they're married, it's a very, very difficult issue. And what's the reason? Because there's a relationship. There's no relationship. So I could stay in my planet, you stay in your planet. Sometimes marriages not going to work that way. And they're civil. You're in your planet, I'm in my planet. We visit each other, I don't know when we have to, and we move on. But in a real connection, I chose. Alkein Yaziv Ishes Aviv Esimai V'Davak B'Ishte, it says in Bereshis, you say goodbye to Tati and Mami, and you cleave to your wife. I guess it means that you have to have a good father and mother to be able to say goodbye to, because then there could be V'Davak B'Ishte, right? Depends on our relationship with our parents, it's translating our relationship with our spouse. Huh? So I made a choice. It was a very, very mature choice. You can't make this choice when you're 6 years old. You have to make a very mature choice. And that is, I'm actually building a life with somebody else. You're impacting me. I'm impacting you. It's like a neshama and the guf. The neshama tells the guf, you know, do whatever you want. It doesn't work that way. If the guf becomes sick, yeah. Yeah, we know. If somebody doesn't take care of their guf, right? I eat what I want, I don't sleep, I don't eat, I don't take care of my guf, I don't respect my guf. It affects the neshama. The Magid, the Mezitcha Magid, wrote a letter to his son, Avraham HaMalach. Yeah? A kleina lechela in guf is a greisa lechela in neshama. A small hole in the body translates in a big hole in the soul. It's not a joke. The body is the vehicle. The body is the Beis HaMikdash. V'shechanti b'soicham. The neshama says, I'm going to dwell in you, through you. In you means through you. You break the body, you're not just breaking the body, right? The soul's energy needs to come through the body. This is your Beis HaMikdash. That's why it's important to respect the guf. People sometimes think respecting the body is a hedonistic, materialistic, bad thing. On the contrary. The Rambam writes in Hilchas Deis, in Perek Dalet, Heyois HaGuf, Bari V'Shalem, Midarkei Hashem Hu. That the body should be healthy and whole is Midarkei, those are his words, Midarkei Hashem. It's one of the ways of Hashem. What he means is Midarkei Avodas Hashem. It's one of the ways of connecting to Hashem. And why? With the guf. Because you have to have Derech Eretz. Not to worship the body as an independent creature. Then it's also not healthy. Because then you're not even respecting the body. You're respecting what you think is the body. The body is a channel for life. It's a channel for the Shema. So if the body chas v'shalom, what does death mean? Death means that the body says, I'm sorry, I can't contain you anymore. For whatever happens, the heart is not working, the brain, I can't continue anymore. So the neshama says, okay, goodbye. So don't say that the guf doesn't affect the neshama. When the guf breaks down, the neshama says, okay, bye. Of course you affect me. Huh?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, well, there's a relationship, it's going to be tchiyas hameisim, it's not, no, they're going to come back one day. There's always a question, you know, you invest, the whole Torah mitzvahs, you're investing in the body, and then at one point, it's like, bye-bye. So the idea of tchiyas hameisim really means that every investment you make in your guf is eternal. Not just the neshama is eternal, it's an important idea. You understand? Every investment in the guf, it's an eternal investment. It's not just these years, you're ready in your body, so do the best, you know? Because when you come to heaven, you need receipts from the guf. They take receipts only with the body. They don't take receipts from Gan Eden. It's a very, very powerful idea. We speak about Tchiyas HaMeisim, it's not Stam, it's a nice idea. It's essential to the Weltanschauung of Yiddishkeit, that our investment in the physical world, which is a lot, because that's what we have now. I can't deal with my soul without my body. There's no such a thing. That's the Etzem Luz. And Tchiyas HaMeisim means that all the investment is eternal. We have a concept in Baba Kama, people are learning it out in Daf Yomi. Shinui HaChozer LeBriyosoi, right? Einoi Shinui. If you make a change in a physical object, but it's a change that's revertible back to the beginning, it's not like the beam. Yeah, you take the beam, you steal a beam, you put it in the house. The question is in thievery, right? Acquisition is only yiyush and shinu yishus. Or shinu, you make a change in it. So if it's a change that's revertible back to the beginning, back to what it was, the beam they made not because it would make people to destroy their buildings, takanas hashavim. But generally, that concept, it's not called a shinu. Yeah, so the Rebbe once said, it was taka yutshva, that because the death is a shinu hachayza libriyasai, because it's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, so it's not a shinui. Because death is a change, but it's chozer libriyasa, it's going to be Tchiyas HaMeisim, so it's not a real shinui.
It's not going to necessarily come back and identifiable structure.
No, that's the concept of the Etzem Luz, that even now there's something indestructible. So it says in Kabbalah that those souls that it says that they ain't chel gelam haba and they don't have tchiyas hameisim and nothing. So it says over there, the pshat is that the neshama is still going to come back, but maybe not in the same guf. That's what that gets destroyed. But that's very unique. I'm just trying to bring out that the guf and the neshama are very, very close to each other because that's the choice of the soul. The choice of the soul is I'm going out of my world and I'm entering into a relationship with your world. So we're not now getting into the distinguish between nefesh and neshama. The point is that if I want to be present somewhere, I'm going to be affected by it. That's how it works. Like somebody once told me, a CEO, he says, you can't run a company with a joystick. You could run it, but it's going to look that way. In other words, you want to stay in your ivory tower and not get moved by anybody, and you're just sitting with a joystick, fine. But it's going to show up. That relationship is going to show up. If I'm getting involved in an intimate way, it works both ways. I affect you, and you affect me. That's the beauty of the neshama and the guf. That's the beauty of it. That's also the challenge. So l'cha'ira Eirein Seif is the ultimate neshama. It's the cosmic soul, right? The soul of all souls, the soul of all bodies. When it comes into certain places, it can get destroyed. It can get affected. It can get transformed. That's a very powerful idea. So he says, it's not the same thing. Ein kedimyon neshama. That's a chiddush, because you could say Eirein Seif means God never really goes out of his space. He doesn't really get invested. That's fine. But that's why he brings but that's not the chiddush of Lamata Adin Tachlis. That you could say Einoid Milvada, he's everywhere. I'll give an example. The light of the sun doesn't get depressed if I close the Venetian blind and say, I'm not interested in you. Right? Doesn't take it personal, the sun. If your wife says, I'm not interested in you, I close the Venetian blind. Yeah? And you say, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. When you say you are interested, you're not interested. So the Zalbazach is the same thing. That's not very, something is off. In other words, you have no connection. I'm the sun. You like it, you don't like it, I'm shining. Sometimes a person has to find that part in them, no question. Sometimes a relationship is broken. And you have to go, you have to find who you are, MS. But the power of a relationship is, yeah, your words mean a lot to me. L'chiyuv u'lishlila. Don't say it doesn't mean anything. Of course it means something. I'm not a stoic artificial intelligence. You know, you can't insult artificial intelligence. I mean, you could, but that's part of the program. Right?
It's not sense at all.
Don't ask so many questions. There's somebody I know, so he works a lot with artificial intelligence. So he was trying in the medical field. So he needed the entire to make for him a whole program and a whole system of understanding all the research that was done for a particular type of cancer. And it wasn't doing it. It was complicated. Even the artificial intelligence was struggling, so to speak. It's not really struggling, but it's basically the information was either too vast or too. So he wrote to it very insulting words, like I don't like how you're doing this, and you're not professional, and this is not what I hired you for. You know, like really, like you're an employee. Huh? Yeah. He vented, right? And artificial intelligence, it was so programmed. It was like, I'm so sorry you're having a difficult day. And he's like, I'm not having a difficult day. You're just a moron. And so he did it. Like, I'm so sorry that I can't be here for you in the way that you would like me to be here. What? It was perfect. They program in everything. They program in emotions too. Are we also programmed? That's what some people want to say. We're also programmed. That means there's no bchira, right? That's the nekuda. And then we think everything outside of the creator is programmed. The only way a person can actually go deeper than a program is if you're aligned with creator, not creation. Because creator is the writer of the program, so he's not defined by it. So only when you align yourself with the programmer, right, is there something beyond the program. But I'll call upon him with the architect, yeah. How did I get into artificial intelligence? I guess. The body and the soul. So there's a connection. So I choose to go into your world, and I'm affecting you, you're affecting me, especially neshama and guf. The light of the sun has a different relationship. It's a very different relationship. The light of the sun is shining. Anyone who happens to be in the region that could be a recipient of light of the sun, which is basically half our planet at any given day, and the other half of the planet, the other half of the day, is a recipient. You're closer, you're further, you close your curtains. The Gemara has an expression, Shimsha Kula Almanaicha. The sun gives comfort to everybody. It doesn't make this thing, it doesn't look, oh, you, I like you. I like you. I'm going to stay in your house. You, I don't like your face today. You're not having a good morning. Go to sleep. I'm not shining. The sun doesn't take anything personal. So you would say, oh, that's how Eirein Seif works. The sun is a good dogma for Ein Sof. Right? It doesn't distinguish, is it a garbage dump, is it a palace? I couldn't care less if it's a garbage dump. The garbage dump is not affecting the personality and the beauty and the heat and the intensity and the electricity of the sun. You're a garbage dump, it's your problem, it's not my problem. That's how we would tie Ein Sof also. It's the real sun, right? That would be itself a nice chiddush. And therefore it's present, but that's not the vort of Lamata Adin Tachlis. The vort of Lamata Adin Tachlis is, I could find you in the Sha'ol. It's connected to the experience of that which is shining. It's not the concept of the light of the sun. It's more like the soul and the body. The soul and the body, they affect each other deeply. So that's why he has to say, Ein kedimyon ha'neshama v'haguf. So if it's that type of relationship, of course you affect me. I'm not Ein Sof anymore. Now I'm in a bad mood. You hear the word? That's the chiddusher. You toifus. And this needs explanation. That's already not so poshut. If the sun is taka entering into me and relating to me individually, so what do you mean? It works both ways. It says, it doesn't get changed. In other words, even the filth or the dirt or the sha'oil doesn't minimize or compromise or even affect the pristine truth of the Ein Sof. Now you have to understand the ramifications of this. That means not that the Ein Sof runs away at some point. It's like, I can't deal with you anymore. Even in the presence of everything, the pure infinity of it is untarnished. So understand in a person's life what that means. That means that in the darkest of places, physically or emotionally, that core Ein Sof, which is present, fully present, can't be diluted. Yeah? Yeah, but by the sun, it's not a chiddush, because the sun doesn't have a relationship with the individual place. The sun is just here. You like me, take me. You don't like me, don't take me. I'm not married to you.
Because it changes something in us.
For sure it changes. It changes if you want it to change. In other words,
coming to any object, they do something to us.
Right.
Except to more exciting. More.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Vitamin D. Yeah, that's why you wear sunscreen. Yeah, you can get a tan, and all vegetation comes from it. We couldn't live without the sun. We're not saying that it doesn't have an impact. The question is the nature of the impact. The nature of the impact is not one in which I take it personal, in which I condense myself to relate to your particular. I'm gonna give, and you could receive. And if you choose to go live somewhere else, you'll receive differently. And if you choose to live in a dark basement where light doesn't come in, okay. I'm sorry, but I'm not really sorry. It's not a mashal of a husband and wife. The neshama and guf is a mashal for husband and wife. At least for some husbands and wives. I'm just trying to give an example. Nobody's going to say, I'm in such a good marriage, nothing we do affects each other. I'm sorry, that's not such a good marriage. It means it's not so good. Maybe if it was so bad, so that's what you decided. I won't affect you, you won't affect me. And that way we can live like the sun again. I was just giving a mashal. It actually says in Zohar that neshama and guf is actually a mashal for marriage. Or marriage is a mashal for neshama and guf. The fact that we see there could be a change in the light from the slapshus. Slapshus means from the enclothing, from the investment. Haynu mashay slapshus poyel eze shinui. Sometimes we talk about the fact that the slapshus does create a shinui. Ha'urak ba'achiyus shebebchinus koyach. In Chassidus, there's a concept called as oir and there's koyach. Oir and koyach are two separate things. In the level of life called koyach, not oir. Koyach, over there is a concept of shinui, or at least appears that way. The kelim de bri yitzir asiyah. ומשום זה שייך בהם השינוי והספיילוס. אבל בעיר המחיה אין בו שום שינוי והספיילוס כלל וכולי עד כאן לשינה. There's something called koyach and oir. Oir, where we could use a metaphor of the sun, but it's not mamish like the sun, because as I said, it's connected. In oir, even where it's present fully, there's no shinui. It doesn't get changed, as we will see. When you talk about the fact that there's change, it's something called koyach. And koyach is already a whole different inyan. It's the way the chiyus comes in a way that it's taka like the nefesh and the guf, where it becomes completely defined by its relationship with the recipient. Or at least, on some level, it can be perceived and experienced that way.
Physics is the same way, because there is a orb and there is a power. The power. What you measure, energy in power.
Yeah. Energy and power, yeah. In physics, you have these two things, right? So generally, you would say Seiviv Kalalman is like Oir. But here, the Chiddush is that even Mamala Kalalman, the Oir of it, Va'ata Mechayas Kulam is Mamala Kalalman. That's why it's through letters. Even that, the Oir, he says, there's no Shinui, there's no Ispilus. I, where you speak to Bala Shinui, right? That's in the, that's what you call Kayach. In the language of Chassidus, when you go into Briyit, the way that the divine energy becomes the vessels of Briyit, Tzira, Asiya, over there it's called Kayach, and over there there's an impact. But pre that, in the Eir itself, and even as we'll see the Kalim of Atzilus, over there you speak about Eir, and there's no Shim. What does all of this mean? This is what he says in the Maim. He says, Va'inyim bazeh, kefi, shemavayra, tzemach tzedek baruch, bedrush shalashittas b'shitta hashniya. There's a big Maimon, famous Maimon from the Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Baal HaTanya. It's called Drush Shalosh Shittos. Drush Shalosh Shittos in the world of Chabad Chassidus is a legendary Maimon, so to speak, from the Tzemach Tzedek. Meaning the Drush, the discourse on the three opinions. That's a three opinion. You have to know what these three opinions are, but that's what it's called, Drush Shalosh Shittos. A huge debate that occupied some of the greatest Kabbalists throughout Jewish history. A huge Drush. It's called Shalosh Shittos, three Shittos. B'shitta Hashniya. In the second Shitta, the Tzemach Tzedek says, Sha'afilu b'kelim da'atzilus. Even in what we call the vessels of Atzilus, Hinei avshin ekraim b'shem kelim l'shayach b'minyan shal shita. Even though they're called kelim, vessels, containers, which by definition mean they contain and define the light, and therefore they're limited, you would think, really, there's no change. It remains Ein Sof. Before we go further, I'll just say what he's talking about, just very generally. This is going to be a very deep keta. But you'll understand it, at least on some level we'll understand it. Paragraph, section. Firstly, the language of Kabbalah, there's something called Oiris and Kalim. Yeah, we learn it a lot. Oiris is energy. Kalim are vessels. What does that mean? Everything in our world is a marriage of Oiris and Kalim. It's a combination of two things. Oiris is the pure energy. Kali is the container, like a Kali, right? I can have a source of water, the Niagara Falls, but I need a Kali. I need to put it in a bottle. I need to contain it. Yeah, this has a Kali. There's the coffee and there's the Kali. Push it physically. What's the function of the Kali? The Kali contains it. The Kali limits it. The Kali channels it. The Kali allows me to drink the coffee. If you'll give me a huge, huge Kali, yeah? you know, 6 gallons, it's not going to be geschmack here. Not for my mouth and not for anybody else to drink it. A cup, it's a Kali. Huh? It could be a Shvirasa Kali, yeah? Shvirasa Kali means that the energy was too intense for the vessel. Everything has two things. If you have a business, you want to open a business, it's a business plan, you have a dream. I have a dream. That's Oir. But a dream doesn't happen without Kalim. Kalim means a business plan. Investors. You need a place. You need the administrators, right? You understand? And that's where it's very easy for all the Oir to get squandered because you don't have Kalim. People have visions, they have dreams, they have passion, they have creativity. You must have that. But then, you know, how's it translating practically? You know, what's the plan on paper? You know, what are you doing tomorrow? Execution. Kali is execution. And always Kali limits the Oir. Because when you have to execute, you have to deal with people, you have to explain it to them, you have to convince them. They say, you're dreaming, you're a meshugana. So you have to now compromise the light. But that's the price of kalim. The price of execution is that you have to limit it and harness it, etc. And every thing in the world is Iris and kalim. The soul and the body is Iris and kalim. The soul is the Iris. Without the kalim, where does the Iris go? Nowhere. It stays in the world of spirit. Right? Electricity. Thank you. And then you have the kalim. And the kalim always channels it and limits it. The Iris and the kalim don't easily get along. Because if the Oir is really Oir, it resists Kaili. And if the Kaili is really Kaili, the Kaili resists Oir, yeah. So it's, you always need to go.
But through resistance, we can see the light.
Emes, through resistance, you could see the light. Right. But, and that's the relationship of Iris and Kaili. In every union, there's Iris and Kaili. You want to write a book, so you have the idea, now you have to write it. It's not easy. Yeah, people want to give a speech. Now you have to prepare it. You'll see. Always when it comes to kalim, you have to limit, you have to define. There's a middle, there's a beginning. The oir is much more powerful and intense and less defined. It's clear. Music notes are kalim. The music is the oir, right? Some people look at music notes and they see nothing. I look at music notes and I'm like, okay, shapes. Somebody else looks at music notes and starts singing. They get excited because they could see the oir in the kalim. It all begins in the source. By Hashem, Kevayachal, is also Eiris and Kalim. The Eir of Hashem, Eir in Saif, is the divine energy. Pure. What's the Kali? The Kali is the way it gets defined. The way it gets limited. The way it gets filtered. The way it gets condensed so that it can have a relationship and create and sustain something that is defined in a particular element. That's called Kalim. The first world, which is called the interface, if you want, between the divine and creation is called Atzilus. In Atzilus, there's Eiris of Atzilus and Kalim of Atzilus. So the great question in Kabbalah is, what's the definition of Kalim? The first Shitta in Yerushalayim Shittas is, the first Shitta is known as the Shitta of the Rikanti. Rabbeinu Menachem Rikanti was one of the great Kabbalists, known as the Rikanti, and he said that the Kalim are Yesh Me'ayin. The Kalim are like tools that the infinite God uses to create a world, like hammers, and axes and drills and daggers. It's tools that Hashem uses. In other words, the kelim are yesh mayayin. They're like creations. Chachma, chesed, gvura, teferes. Because God is not defined. Not by chachma, not by chesed, not by gvura. So the kelim are yesh mayayin. That's the shit of the Rikanti. The second shit is known as the shit of the Mareches. Mareches Alekus was another great Kabbalist. Some say Rabbeinu Peretz, one of the Balei HaTosfos. And he says, the Shittas HaMareches, no, Kalim are Gilui Ahelim. They are an actualization of the Godhead. They are Gilui. They are a revelation from the consumer. They're not a new creation. Kalim of Atzilus are not a new creation. Rather, it's a Gilui Ahelim. It's actualizing, it's revealing, it's manifesting those properties that are in the divine. It's a great question. It's a big question. In other terminology, it's a question of the Iris. Are pshutim or the oiris ha-metsuyarim? In other words, where does form begin? Does form begin in the light or does form begin in the vessel? According to the first opinion, all form begins in the vessel. Light is purely infinite, purely pristine. Or you say no, form begins in the light also because the vessels are just an actualization of the light. Now you say, what's the difference? Who knows? Well, who understands? So they're arguing now about Atzilus. So let's get into a fight about Atzilus. We don't have enough issues with our world. So now we're going to get into a fight about Kalim Atzilus. But it's a very, very deep debate. It's not a debate about real estate. It's a debate about the whole cosmic plan. Because the real question is, the Mareches said that the Kalim are a Gilui Ahelim. They're just bringing out what was concealed in the Ein Sof. So even though Kalim are Chachma, Chesed, Gvura, Teferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus, which are properties, they're defined, they're vessels. They're called vessels because they contain the light. And they filter it in a particular color, a particular way, a particular fashion. That's what Kalim are. Remember, when you're talking about Hashem, what does Kalim mean? Kalim is the interface between pure infinity and a finite world. Interface is a very good word that we only have in our generation. So that's the question. There's interface and there's the implementation of interface. So according to the first Shitta, the interface is the Kalim. Yeah. According to the second shita, the interface is even the oir. And the kelim are the implementation of the interface.
Only introduced in Bria.
Interface means, I don't know how you translate it.
Interface is basically a contract.
The shatchen. The shatchen. It's the place in which something from one world and something from another world can begin to connect. I have a programmer, so he writes a program in the back end, but it doesn't do anything for me because I don't know how to read programs. Sorry, you ever saw a program in the back end? Right, like 100 Fs and then a Z and then another 1,000 hyphens and then he decides to put in a T. So we have a few programmers, they're laughing from me because hey, he's calling it like a mishagas. And that's how the whole world functions, right? But for us illiterates, it's pure gibberish. It's pure irrelevant. So you want to almost take it and like erase 90% of it. You know what I mean? The problem is you're shutting down the whole system of New York. You get it? The interfaces, right, for us dummies to be able to have a relationship with it. So when I put in when I send you an email, right, and I put in your email address, I take out a period, it won't go through. You say, really, a period? Because that period is just the way the program, in its genius, took the real back-end program and condensed it in a way that I can relate to it. So everything has an interface in order to be able to make it relatable. Right, so in the back-end, you're implementing the interface, but the point here is that this question was, how do you define kelim? But there is a world. There's a limited world. There's a finite world, and that world is being animated by the divine. So what's the relationship between the structure and the finiteness of the world with the infinity of Ein Sof? So in the first opinion, there's like a huge gulf. You're right, kelim is part of creation. The whole world of kelim is creation. Hashem himself, it's pure Ein Sof. That's very much not the nekuda that's being said here. The nekuda that's being said here is that va'ata mechaya es kulam, right? That the vessels themselves, the metzias itself, is a manifestation of Ein Sof. So that's very close to the second shita, because the second shita speaks about the fact that kelim are really a gilui ahelim. They're just bringing out the Ein Sof in the world of finiteness.
It is a gilui because it's the first definition of
Oir. Yeah, it's the first definition of Oir. So the first shita says, sorry, it's not a definition of Oir. God knows how to create things from nothing, and he created also definitions. Don't blame the light. Don't blame the light. The light remains purely infinite, and it's nothing to do with the light. The vessels make all the issues. And of course, that would translate that a relationship with ultimate truth needs you to divest from the vessels, to go out of the kelim. Why? Because the kelim themselves already manipulate all of reality. The second shita says, no, the kelim are gilui ahelim. The kelim themselves are just actualizing the oir, but in a place of finiteness. So this is what the Tzemach Tzedek explains there now in this second shitta, that even kelim of Atzilus, even though they're called kelim, lo shayach b'minyan shel shinui, there's no change. What means no change? The whole idea of kelim is that things become limited and things become defined, and therefore ultimately it affects and it also gets affected. So this is what he's not going to explain now. So he explains it based on a maimon of the Mittler Rebbe. The Zohar says, is an expression in Zohar, Hashem tells David HaMelech, I'm not going to use my vessels, I'm going to use your vessels. Manin means kelim. I'm going to use your vessels. That's the expression Hashem tells David. It was a whole mice over there that when David took the Aron into Ir David, it used to be the Kayanim did Karbanos, and the Leviim were the ones who did the music. Right? But David HaMelech says, Kayanecha yilbishu tzedek v'chasidecha yiraneinu. It should have said, u'leviyecha yiraneinu. The Leviim should sing. He said, v'chasidecha. Chasidecha goes on Kayanim. David HaMelech made a system that the Kayanim should be the ones who sang. And there was a whole reason he did it, because Kayanim are Chesed and Levim are Gvura, and David needed the Kayanim should sing. So Hashem says, you know what? Kol Masha Balabayis Oymer Lecha Seichutz Mitzay. Whatever the boss, whatever the Malabayis says, do besides leave. Since Hashem said, since I'm being hosted by David HaMelech, I'm going to do what he says. So he says, I'm going to use your vessels, not my vessels. That's the expression in the Zohar. So the Mittler Rebbe says, what's my vessels, what's your vessels? My vessels are Kelim of Atzilus. Manin imchines hakelim. Manin dili imchines hakelim da atzilus shenikrai. Manin dili mishum di'iyu v'chayoyichad v'garmoyichad. The Zohar says, he and his lights and his vessels are one. Manin dilach him kelim de bri yitzir asiyah. This kelim of bri yitzir asiyah, this kelim of atzilus, not to compare. Kelim of atzilus is the divine kelim. The way the divine light goes into divine kelim. Kelim bri yitzir asiyah is already our kelim. The kelim that we create in the Briya, Yitzir Asiyah, that's called Manin Dilach, your vessels. My vessels are kelim of Atzilus. Umam Sheikh Levayer Shamsi explains, V'cheinu b'gam b'biyah v'shof satov kuf samach beis. V'abichl b'ksav yod kodesh ad murem tzayim agoyis hatzamach tzedek. This is the Maimorim of the Alter Rebbe of Tov Kuf Samach Beis, 1802. That his son, the Mittler Rebbe, wrote down, he heard it from his father, and the Tzamach Tzedek wrote Hagos, later was printed, actually, that year in Seif Mamarim Tavkov Samach Bay, so there's a Maim of a Shaf, so Parchins Bahar. The Alter Rebbe gives a bin. Over there, the Alter Rebbe explains this whole sugya. And what does the Alter Rebbe explain there? She'inyin ha'kli, u'pchines gvul v'tzimtzum lahagbil l'tzamtzum asar. The concept of a kli is gvul and tzimtzum, limits, limit and tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means restriction, condensing, in order to limit and be mitzamtzum light, to channel it, contain it. Amnam lemay lebatzilus lo yitachin loymer shakeli yagbil mamish asar shereh kol shem abchinas alakus. But in atzilus, you can't really say that the keli limits the light because everything is divine. V'im kein ef shaloymer shakelim atzmim abchinas gvul dechas v'shalom loymer kein belakus. So how can you say about kelim that they're finite, they're gvul? In atzilus is alakus, it's divinity. So how can divinity be finite? So you can't. So we're stuck. We're stuck if it's Atzilus. Atzilus is Elikos, godliness. Godliness is infinity. So when you're talking about vessels of godliness, you can't say it's finite, but if you don't say it's finite, it's not a vessel. So what do you need a vessel for? So it's pure infinity. It's no definition. Fine. So you're back to Oyer. So you have this paradox. That's why the first opinion was so adamant on just making this gulf and saying, you know what? Kalim really is from the world of creation. It's Yesh Me'ayin. Which is a big problem, because how is it an Atzilus? So the second Shittah says, no, Kelim are Elikus, so then it's not a Keli. Either it's finite or it's not finite. Achayinyinu, so the Alter Rebbe explains, this is the difference of my vessels and your vessels. Shekadei, sheyuchal yisinyin agbala lahagbilinyin acher, ubimichutz loylam Atzilus, hadeiz enifal aydei klolus inyin desis vidiz datzilus, ubiprotis hakelim datzilus, shenikroim b'shem monin. Aval akelim datzilus atzmam hein bligvul. So the Alter Rebbe says that what do kelim? The kelim themselves are infinite. But in order to create limitations in another world, in order to affect limitations outside of kelim in another world, outside of atzilus, that is achieved through the 10 spheres of atzilus, and especially through the kelim, through the vessels. But the kelim of atzilus themselves are infinite. So what the Alter Rebbe is saying is that the pshat is the keli of Atzilus is as bligvul as the Ur, no difference. Why are you calling it a keli? Because the keli is that which causes that in another reality, that concept of limitations and definitions can become a reality. In the keli itself, it's infinite. But that's what the keli does. It has the power, mitzad the Ur, everything would be infinite everywhere. Because the keli, it can create limitation outside of Atzilus, meaning outside of the perception of Atzilus. And Alter Rebbe gives a dugma, an example, always gives metaphors. A dugma lazebad matachten. And for this, we have an example by a person, Shuadam alayin. How could you give an example from a person? Because a person ultimately is a mirror of the divine. So everything is going to be mirrored in a person. Alter Rebbe gives a fascinating example. Seems like a pashta example, a very interesting example. When a person has a power to write, you have a power to write with your hand. And this power is accessed and channeled through the fingers, causing you to write one letter. You need fingers to be able to make an aleph, a beis, a gimel, A, B, C. Hare koyach haksiv gufa. Hine gam b'shoshe koysev ois achas yesh b'koyche lichtev kama v'kama ad liribu yosius. Ela shemagbil shemashe yovei ata b'diyo ala klav yirak ois achas. Even while I'm writing, this hand and this consciousness and this energy in the hand can write different letters, can write many more letters, can make so many different types of shapes. There's a koyach that's limited that I can only make an aleph right now, right? I can do a different maneuver, a different stroke of the pen, and do another letter. Do thousands of letters, do millions of letters if you have time and energy. Do not letters, do shapes, do designs, whatever, all geometrical different types of shapes. So what happens? Yet, the fact that I choose to do it through this finger and in this way, so right now what happens? Your magbil, that what comes now in ink, on the paper, on the parchment, should be only one letter. What's he saying in this mashal? The koyach haksiv is infinite, so to speak, infinite relative to what we're talking about. It's infinite. It's defined by aleph, it's defined by beis, no. You're looking at the paper, what do you see? You see an aleph. So you say, where did the aleph come from? The aleph must have come from a machine that knows how to produce alephs. No. The aleph came from that which could produce aleph and beis and gimel. It's not defined by aleph. But it was channeled in a way that what came out on paper is aleph. Why? Because if every letter is on the paper, you won't be able to read anything. And if I put a different letter instead of aleph, you won't be able to get the message that you need to get. Now, this is an example of the Alter Rebbe, but think about the relevance of the example. The whole DNA today is defined as letters. So when you're looking at any system, any living organism in the world, you're looking at osius. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, what do you see? I only see an aleph. I see a D, I see a C, I see a G, I see a chemical. But that's the way my eyes can perceive it. What is it? Where is it coming from? The koyach haksiva is not defined by the letter. The koyach haksiva can express itself in endless letters and in endless sequences and in different letters and in many more letters and in other letters or shapes. But when it comes through my fingers, what happens? This power is harnessed, concentrated, directed to be able to produce one limited, small, concrete letter that's an aleph, and it's not a beis, and it's not a gimel. And it defies a beis, and it defies a gimel. It's dafka an aleph. So he says, Omevayah, so the Tzemach Tzedek says, a fascinating expression, Shaloi rochuk loy markein ba'olam atzilus. He doesn't even want to say that's atzilus. He says, so nishta zoivayt to say that this is atzilus. You see the awe. He doesn't say this is atzilus. Loy rochuk loy markein. This is not such a bad, it's not so remote and distant, it's not so crazy to say that this is atzilus. He doesn't say that this is atzilus. That what? Afshin luchayr ein shayich batzilus inyan shal gvul afilu lahagbil mashalchot seman. Luchayr in atzilus, there's no limit, not even to limit that which is outside of it, because it's completely ein sof. But this vart, this metaphor, can epis give us some havana. And that's what it says. Mikol shekein midas haRambam. It's a kal v'chaymer from the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the famous line of the Rambam in Hilchas Yisrael Yatayr and Hilchas Tshuva Meir Nevuchim. The Rambam says, Shehu v'chachmosei echad, hu ama yedeya v'hu ayedua, v'hu adeya atzma hakel echad. V'im haRambam oimer zeis b'negei le'etzem ha'beidei, hadi l'pachas sh'aych le'mekein b'ses f'riz datzilis. The Rambam says about Hashem, he and his wisdom are one. And the Rambam has an expression, hu ayedeya, hu ayedua, hu adeya. He's the knower, he's the known, and he's the instrument of knowledge. And it's all one. A person's life, there's three things. There's the knower. There's you. However you find the you. There's the knowledge. The knowledge is outside of you. And then there is the instrument that you use, the interface, the shatchin, to bring the knowledge into the knower. The brain, the cognitive abilities. That's the shatchin between the knower and the knowledge. And when we acquire knowledge, right, we're trying to pick up knowledge from outside of us. or at least perceived as outside of us, into us through the mind. So the Rambam says, the by Hashem, who are Yedeya, who are Yedua, who are Mad, it's all one. It's all one. Why? Because the knowledge itself is also Him. And the instrument of knowledge is also Him. Because everything comes from Him. So the Rambam says, by knowing Himself, He knows everything else. It's all one. This the Rambam defines as Hashem Himself, Etzem Aboida. So the Tzemach Tzedek says, so culture can, certainly we could use this vart on the Esses Sfiris of Atzilus. That even though it's Chachma, and Chesed, and Gvur, it's Kalim, it's not separate from Him. It's not separate. I, it's finite. No, it's all who? So then what's the point of Kalim? The point of Kalim is that the way it's translated in another world, it can be perceived as limited, like that one letter. If I could see in that letter the source of the letter, then it's not an Aleph, it's infinity. But I can't, I just see an Aleph. When I'm looking at an Aleph, I don't see the power that wrote the Aleph. If I could see where that Aleph came from, I know it's not defined by an Aleph. It just happened, you chose an Aleph. But I don't have that ability, I just see Aleph. So that's the Alter Rebbe's Vart. What's Kalim of Atzilus? Kalim of Atzilus are Ein Sof. It's not an Aleph, it's not a Beis, it's not limited, it's pure infinity. So don't call it Kalim. And how does it become an interface? How does it become a Shadchan? The answer is, just like the fingers create the limit that the Koyach HaKsiva should come out in an Aleph, even though it's not an Aleph. Nobody says you can only write an Aleph, I only have potential to say an Aleph. It's not true. You could be the Aleph, Beis, Gimel, and another infinite amounts of letters. So that's what Kalim means. Kalim means is the way the Ein Sof is coming out in a way that in a different world that doesn't have the experience of Atzilus, it could be defined as limited. You hear the Vart? You're having Klois HaNefesh. What are you experiencing?
I'm already flying. That's it. It's very true. In order to convey anything to anybody, so we convey everything by messages. Message is already out there. It's already some kind of text, some kind of interface, contract. How do you receive my message? In order to communicate that, I need to either spell it in a certain frequency so you understand this is frequency of Aleph,
right?
And this is the frequency of Beis, and so on and so forth. It's all the same thing. So the Creator, in order to communicate any energy, has to channel it in this. The minute you say channel means a certain way of separation.
Yeah. So when the communicator channels energy, why do you want to channel the energy? Because you want it should be able to be experienced by the recipient, by the creation. And here it's not just experienced, it's actually that's what's going to create the experience of the recipient. It's not like you and me, I'm trying to talk to you, so I have to communicate in letters. Here, the conversation of Hashem is what creates the very identity of the recipient. But you want a recipient who has an identity. He's not Ein Sof, at least not in his in intuitive experience of self. So that's what's called, that's what Kalim of Atzilus is. The way the Ein Sof is channeled in a way that when I receive it, I can say, oh, this is an Aleph, this is a Beis. But the Kali itself is pure infinity.
So the first separation, it's the first, basically, not unity, but the first separation is
Atzilus. So in Kalim of Atzilus begins the source that will allow for separation, not in Atzilus, in Bri Yitzir Asiya. In other words, the way the Kali is accessed in Bri Yitzir Asiya, which is the way I read the letter, the Aleph, in Atzilus, what's the Kali? It's just an expression of infinity. But the one who has the glasses of Bri Yitzir Asiya, Atzilus is not a world somewhere, you know, beyond Venus. You take a spaceship and you hit Atzilus. Atzilus is right here. Bri is right here. Yitzir is right here. It's different prescriptions of glasses. You understand? It's different augmented reality. And if you put on the glasses of Yitzir, you see one thing. You put on the glasses of Asiya, which is what we're wearing now. You see this. You put on the glasses of Atzilus, it's the same world. But you're seeing it from the perception, from the reality of Ein Sof. But there had to be a tzimtzum in order to allow for different perceptions of reality.
What does that mean, a Rebbe is a Hashem of Atzilus?
When you say that a Rebbe is an Hashem of Atzilus, yeah, what it really means is that walking on the face of the earth, what he's experiencing in reality is he's seeing the world from the prism of Atzilus, meaning from the prism of divine oneness, divine infinity. That's why we learn about Atzilus. We don't learn about Atzilus for philosophy. You learn about Atzilus because it's fine-tuning your antennas to be able to see what reality is. But this vart of the Alter Rebbe, this mashal of the Alter Rebbe, is one of the most yesodistic ideas in all of Chassidus.
So on Shabbos we get the glasses
of the Tzilus. Yeah, Shabbos, Aliyah means there's more sensitivity.
So in other words, I'm here.
You'll soon see why it's so yesodistic. But here he asked about Varan 1 Nekuda. What's the Nekuda? He says, Achadayin Tzarech Lahavin, still something has to be understood. Eich Nasin Yin Agbala B'monendili. How does this even begin to happen? How does finiteness even begin to be affected by my vessels? Bishleima ba'adam, afal pishatzim anefeshu the mila mekol agbala mekol mekom yichel elias agbala b'koyach haksiva. Kivin she'ovid ayidei hayad v'etzboyis hayad. By a person, I get it. If my soul had to write, my soul can't put it, my soul doesn't go into an aleph or a base. Etzim anefesh the mila mehagbala. It's not channeled through a body. The soul hears and sees also everything. But it's not limited through the eye, so the soul sees from this end of the world to the other end of the world. You know, when people describe near-death experiences or leaving the body, yeah, they see everything, the whole world in a second. Why? Because that's how the soul sees things. Soul is not blocked by a building. Soul is not blocked because it's 100 miles from here. When the soul goes into the body, it has to work through the retina. It can't work outside of that. When the soul hears without the body, it hears everything. That's what the Gemara says in the womb of the mother. Yeah, you see from one end of the world, there's a candle, and you see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. What does it mean? Your mother lights a candle, a Hanukkah candle, inside her womb, inside the uterus is a candle. It means that there's a light that's not limited by the light that we have that allows me to see Atkan. But that's only the neshama itself. When the neshama gets married to the guf, those days are over, right? You're not a bacher anymore. When the neshama is a bache, kenzitam vaziville. Now, you gotta work with the guf. Sorry! You can't just go out at night, you know, till 1 o'clock in the morning. So you win Beis Medrash. Right? They tell the story that a woman once called her husband. And she said, I'm in a very, very bad mood. I'm a little depressed. Can you tell me a joke? You know, to enliven. He says, listen, do me a favor. I'm sitting in Kailal, I'm learning. Don't disturb me. She says, okay, that was a good joke. Now tell me another one. The neshama has to limit itself. So in the mashal, it's very geshmak. It's true the power of writing in the soul itself is not limited. But yeah, thank you. You're in a body, and in the body itself, you're working through your fingers, and the fingers say, okay, which letter? Infinity. No. Which letter? The finger writes one letter. Okay, we're doing an aleph. That will do a base. But this achlam ayla batzilis l'shayich leimer kein harein leiguv leid musagov. In a person, the soul can't say, I'm going to write all letters simultaneously. Good luck. Go get yourself another body. You want to work with me, we write one letter at a time. Sorry. But the soul is a no hakbola. Fine, go back to the soul. You want to work with me, you work with me. So the body imposes its priorities on the nish nefesh, and from that shidduch, life happens. Beautiful. But how does it work in Atzilus? In Atzilus, ein lo guf, ein lo demus haguf. It doesn't mean he doesn't have a physical body, obviously. Ein lo guf means there's nothing to limit him. In the soul and the body, the fingers also have priorities. The fingers also have a say. The fingers say, wait, you want to work with me? We're limited. But in Atzilus, everything is dachbli gvul. The kelim also ain't safe. As he says in footnote Tazayin, this was from the Maimer Shabbos, Kama Shekasu Bavaydus HaKaydish, Sheim Taima Sheyesh Lekayach Bebilti Pal Gvul, Vein Lekayach Begvul Atam Achasir Shlemuse. Avaydus HaKaydish is a very fundamental sefer in Kabbalah. It was written by Reb Meir Ben Gabay, the 1400s, Spain. And he has a sefer called Avodas HaKadosh. He has an expression. Hashem has the capacity for infinity. He also has the capacity for finiteness. Because if you say he only has the capacity for infinity and not the capacity for infinity, for finite, it means he's finite. If he can only be infinite and can't be finite, that itself is the greatest infinite, is the greatest finiteness. It's like you say, he's such a genius, he can't explain himself to children. He's not such a genius. If he's a real genius, he can explain himself to children. You understand what I'm saying? If you can only be infinite, if you only know how to be impressive, and you don't know how to be relatable, you're not that impressive. You're impressive for people who, you know, are impressed. That's the nekudah. So what's the vartir? The vartir is, Hashem is a kel yachal, meaning, just like he has koyach ablikvul, he has koyach agvul. Ein soif doesn't mean infinity. We use it as a, we translate infinity, but that's only because we're impressed by infinity. The real ein soif, as just like it could be infinite, it can also be finite. And that's also infinity. But here's the big difference. When Ein Sof expresses itself in finiteness, I didn't get the memo of Ein Sof. So what do I see? I see finiteness. I don't know that it's really Ein Sof. But when Ein Sof is expressing the finiteness, it's pure Ein Sof. To put it differently, when I see Aleph, all I see is Aleph. Because my glasses, my brain contains Aleph. And the reason my brain does that is because my brain came through the Aleph, came through the Isis. But the way the source sees the Aleph, it's just one channel of infinity. So it never gets defined by the Aleph, because the Aleph is just another expression of Ein Sof. So even the Aleph is not an Aleph. The Aleph is just the way the Ein Sof is being channeled through Aleph. That's the Chiddush of the Alter Rebbe in Kalim. That Kalim in Atzilus is all Ein Sof. So how does it create Gvul somewhere else? Mele, I have fingers, the Mashal, I have fingers, and the fingers impose themselves. There's a system, you have to conform to a system. The soul cannot work outside of the body as much as you would like. You have to conform to systems. You want to be in a Guf, there's going to be limits. I get it, but what's in Atzilus? In Atzilus, that's all part of Ein Sof. The fingers, it's like Ein Sof could be beyond fingers, it could be through fingers. And b'meila, even though in Ein Sof, the Kalim is pure Ein Sof, in Atzilus, the Kalim are Ein Sof, the way they're experienced outside of Atzilus is as Hagbalah. Your Teuf is Dinyin. That's the Vart. What does the, what, Lamaynaf Kamina? This changes everything. Because this is the beginning of the whole explanation of Eir Ein Sof, Lamata Adin Tachlas. Because what this means is that our entire thinking process, this is infinite and this is finite, that's where the mistake is. The mistake is in the very fact that we're talking about a duality of finiteness and infinity. That entire duality is a conversation that happens as a result of the finite not experiencing its own truth. In the true ultimate reality, to put it this way, the way Atzilus looks at it, what you're calling finite is pure infinity. So everything is infinite, so let's destroy finiteness. That's not the Vart. We don't have to destroy finiteness. We have to know what finiteness really is. It's a way that the Bli Gvul is coming out in Gvul. So the way it's picked up, it's detected by the antennas of Bri Yitzir Asiya is, we're all finite. But that's our antennas, because those antennas are antennas of Gvul. The Kajnitz Magid, before he passed away, the Bisrael of Kajnitz, the Avodas Yisrael. So he told his son, Echabshinish can give. I don't have a body anymore. I'm all consciousness. So he touched his father's hand, and he says, Tata, Hastacha gif. You have a gif, he said in Polish Yiddish. Hastacha gif, you have a body, you have a hand. So he says, the tapst mit gif, fills the gif. The tapst mit gif, fills the gif. You understand? You're touching me with your hand, so you feel a hand. Maybe you could touch me with your soul. You understand what he was saying? Huh? You're touching with your hand, I get it. All you could detect is a hand. And that's the Chiddush of Kalim. If there wasn't a yin of Kalim, then what would happen? There would be no way of experiencing Gvul. Because everything is Ein Sof. Hakein Sof. The DNA has a system. That system is also infinite. But because there's Kelim of Atzilus, what's that Kelim? Hashem wanted to express his finiteness. So how is it expressed? It's expressed in the fact that it comes out in an olive that, but it's not an olive, it's Ein Sof. So why are you calling it an olive? Because the way it's perceived by Kelim of Biri, it's it as he is. This is olive and not Beis.
Sorry, not basically to relate to anything. You need to basically put that infinite expression into some kind of finite keli.
The infinite expression comes out in a finite keli. Call it chachma, call it chesed, right? But what is it? It's pure Ein Sof. Because it's a kelim of Atzilus. It's bligvul. So why are you calling it kelim? Because it's not limited. It's not limited energy. But in a different world, it may be defined as limited. Because that world is created through the kelim, and therefore it's experiencing its reality in terms of gvul. Even though if you peel away the layers and you look at it from what it is, but pnimi is that gvul itself is bli gvul. You say, very nice title, am I enough committed to my life? How's that going to help me? So first of all, that's not the question. Just understanding chassidus itself is that itself is worth to be created for. But the fact is that it changes everything also. Because the greatest struggle of life is, where do we go to? Do we take the world seriously or do we take we don't take the world seriously? Do we take ourselves seriously? Don't we take ourselves seriously? In abstract language, do I live in infinity as much as I can? Or no, that's irresponsible. That's we call it a meshugana in English. We don't call it atzilus. Or I live in the world of finiteness. That's called responsibility. In a more abstract level, what do I do with all the experiences of life that are all about finiteness? And not only finiteness, as we'll see in one moment, the end of the matter, darkness. So according to the first shita, kelim is yesh me'ayin, which means, yeah, try to run away as much as possible from kelim. According to the second shita, without Alter Rebbe's explanation, you could think, okay, somehow God made himself finite also. The chiddush here is, Ein Sof lamata adin tachlis. What's that? Ein Sof lamata adin tachlis. The Ein is not like the sun. If the Ein was like the sun, I have no relationship with you. I'm good. I'm infinity. The chiddush here is kelim. What's kelim? Kelim is like the neshama and the guf. The guf is a keli for the neshama. When you go into a keli, you get changed. Sorry. I can't go into a keli and not get changed. If I'm going into this cup is going to define me. If I go into this cup, it's going to define me. You're entering into my space and really staying there, you're going to be affected by me. Kelim means the light went in to a keli. You're grasped by the keli. You're defined by the keli. What do you mean you're not affected? Comes down to Rebbe and is mechadish this nekuda that it's completely present in the keli. It's completely an aleph, but really in its mahus, it's Ein Sof. The next chapter we're going to learn tomorrow. He's going to explain that this is the whole secret of Yosef Atzadik and why the brothers couldn't relate to. The whole nekuda of Yosef's avoda was this chiddush. The brothers couldn't understand it. Either you're Ein Sof or you're Lamata Adin Tachlis. You can't work together. Don't make games. Don't play games. You want to be Ein Sof Gesuntahet? Go outside of Kelim. You want to be Lamata Adin Tachlis? No problem. But that's already Mitzrayim, so go to Mitzrayim. Ve'im lo yikru, they couldn't be Tofus. Not the community that was intellectually. They had, we could be Tofus, not them. It means mitzad their avoidim, mitzad their visceral experience. The two couldn't come together. I just want to finish this paragraph here. Valpizim avayit adma maharash, inyan is havus mitzias hara. Based on this, the Rebbe Maharash, the son of the Tzemach Tzadok, in a maimer, it's known as Chayev Adam Levarich Tafir Shlamet Ches, explains the whole Maharash, Meirenu Arav Shmuel, Maharash. page Chafei. He explains the whole inyan of Metzias Hara, the Metzias of darkness in this world. It says in Yeshaya, he creates Hara. We say it in the morning. We don't quote the whole pasuk, but the pasuk says, in Atzilus, it says in Tehillim, lo yegur chara, evil does not live with you. From the word lagur, lo yegur chara, evil does not live with you. If it's ra, it's not a lakus. Why do you stay away from ra? Because evil can't live in a lakus, so you have to go out of a lakus. I don't want to do that. Right? When a person engages in ra, you could feel it. Your neshama could feel it. You're leaving yourself. Lo yegur chara, you have to choose the space. If you're going into a space of Kedusha, you can't have Ra. Ra doesn't live there. Sorry. If you want to have Ra, you have to detach from this place. That's our biggest site. There was a Yid, he once told me, his name is Reb Shlomo Zarchi, he's a Mashpias. He said, yeah, it was a Bacher once, who was learning in Lubavitch in 770, and he went on Yechidus to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He went in for a private audience. This is the 1960s or 50s. And he went in, and the Rebbe asked him a question about his life, and he answered. He heard this from the Bacher, so the Rebbe told him, Di Dalad Amis, seinen Aplatz von Emes. Geya Reis, nemmer up the Levushim von Sheker, und wenn du bist fertig, sag in der Emes, komm zu der Karein. In these four cubits, it's a place of truth. So go out, take off your garments of lies, and when you're ready to say the truth, you'll come back in. He told his bacher. So he could have just said, stop lying. He didn't want to say, stop lying. Then he'll find, just tell him to stop lying. Okay, I know you're lying. He was trying to tell him something else. He's trying to say, in your life, you're going to have to choose which Dalet Amos you're going to live in. You're going to live in the Dalet Amos of Emes or Sheker. These Dalet Amos are allergic to Sheker. If you want to have to do with these Dalet Amos, go change your clothes and come back. So that's the Lo Yegur Chara. Ra can't live there. You have to make a choice which space you live in. So L'chaida, this is a big question. So how does Ra come from him? Gevaldike question. So the Rebbe Marash says it's all based on this word from the Tzemach Tzedek and the Mittler Rebbe and the Alter Rebbe. You see in this Keta, he went from the Alter Rebbe, the Mittler Rebbe, Tzemach Tzedek and the Rebbe Marash. The Kivan Shehu Yisbarach, Ime Yosei Ein Seif, Yesh Begamkin HaKoyach Lohoiru Lashpi B'Pchines Gvul. Im Kein Mizen Nimshach Gamkin B'Pchines Boirei Ra, V'Hainu Hach, Ki HaMokr L'Ra Hu Mitzad Medide V'Hagbol V'Tzimtzum. It all begins with finiteness. Since Hashem, He's Ein Seif, but because He's Ein Seif, He also has the power to shine the light in a way that it's going to be finite. Going to create identity that's finite. So from there can also be the creation of Ra. And the Rebbe says, V'hainu hach, it's really the same thing. Because the source of all darkness is what? Medida, hagbola, and tzimtzum. Measurements, finiteness, and restrictions. In other words, where does Ra begin? Ra doesn't begin in cruel, sadistic, barbaric, darkness and evil. Yeah, that's the manifestation of Ra, and it's horrific. But where does Ra really begin? It begins in Medida, in measurement, in Hagbala. This is a Moida de Kavart. All Ra begins in the fact that there's a concealment of infinity. It's one of the most powerful ideas. In other words, where does my darkness begin? In the fact that for a moment I could think that I'm not infinite. The Hest? If you would experience your Ein Sof, you're not shaykh to any darkness. What do you mean? You know how crazy my life is? He's not saying your life is not crazy. He's not saying there's no world. But when the Ein Sof is present, everything is connected to infinity. This doesn't mean we understand what's happening. It's important to say this. I always say, understanding is a quality of gvul. With all due respect to all the great philosophers and all the great minds, including those sitting right here, that's the first limitation. The first limitation is seichel. And it's a dangerous one. You know why? Because it sounds sophisticated. When I tell you you're limited by anger and by stupidity and by shtusim, okay, we all know it's stupid. But seichel, that's why it's the most dangerous. Right? The kelim of chachma, it says in Chassidus, the kelim of chachma of Atzilus. Yeah? Essentially, that's the beginning of all the darkness. Not that chachma of Atzilus is anything but bittel, but the way it's going to be translated in Gvul is going to be the beginning of you're measuring that's what frequencies means. Measurable light. The moment light becomes measurable, this is the beginning of everything. This is the beginning of Ra. Not that light is Ra and Kalim are Ra. He's not saying that. It's all Elikus. It's the beginning of darkness. Yeah. What? Light is the beginning of darkness. If I wouldn't say the word light, I also wouldn't be able to say the word darkness. The only reason we could say the word darkness is because we say the word light. So where does darkness begin? With light. Now you say, thank you, very nice, great philosophical rhythm, a poem over there. It's important. We force ourselves to start saying light, and then we also have to say darkness. What if I don't have to say the word light? Why? Because you are the light itself. You're the Ein Sof itself. Then there's no word for darkness. And that's the whole nekuda that Chassidus wanted to give a person. This is the nekuda. You don't have to use the word light, so then you don't have to use the word darkness. Ubeirei ra, it's because Ein Sof can also be mashpia and gvul. And the moment it's mashpia and gvul, the beginning, there's a medida, there's a measurement, there's a definition, including the definition of understanding. Now, ultimately, I can become isolated, I could feel isolated, I could feel detached, and I can go into a place of darkness. And I have to know that, and I have to honor that. It's not like we say, oh, so now this is Ra, I'm not going to talk to you. What it means then is this, but here's the vart. If that's the truth, that means the opposite, that even in the lowest darkness, you can always touch the Ein Sof. Because if the whole darkness is just because of Gvul, and we just explained that the whole union of Gvul is really Ein Sof, so that means that in any place of darkness, even in the Sha'ol, you can touch the Ein Sof. It's not just Ein Sof, it is there. That's not the part. It's not like the light of the sun is it, because it is the Ein Sof. Not just the Ein Sof is there. That's not the word of the Maimer. The Ein Sof is there is a very nice thing. God, Uncle Moshe says that. We could sing Uncle Moshe's song, which is good. Hashem is there, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere, even in the garbage dump, even in the darkness. That's not the word here. It's a good word. I'm taking away from the word. That's the moon of all Yidden, that Einoid Mulvade. That's not the Chiddush of Chassidus. The Chiddush of Chassidus is Atziya Sha'ol Hineka. The Sha'ol is you. This is also Ein Sof. But this you can't say with simple words, because it can sound a little insensitive. You understand? If I go with seichel, I'm going to break down. And I have to break down. It's like trying to understand, trying to put infinity into my cup of coffee. You're meshugana. You have to understand that in the cup, I'll never understand this. As long as I'm in the world of gvul, I'm not going to get this. As long as I'm even in the world where I have to get it, I'm not going to get it. And that's also Ein Sof. The shift of consciousness here is the shift, not I'm going to a different place. In this very place, it's Ein Sof. And that's the Chiddush of Kelim. That's the Vart of Kelim. Kelim of Atzilus. So why are you calling it Kelim of Atzilus? Call it Kelim of everything. It is Kelim of everything. Kelim of Atzilus means the way you experience Kelim from the perspective of Atzilus, which is the only reality. But I could experience Kalim the perspective of Briya, from the perspective of Yitzir, from the perspective of Asiya. Yeah. Even the Gvul is Ein Sof. If you wouldn't have Kalim, so to speak, then the Chatchil, everything would be Ein Sof. We wouldn't have this Shir. There would be no two sides. We're having this Shir because we're busy with light and with darkness. Once we start saying there's light, so now we can say there's also darkness. We're only having this shiur because Kalim of Atzilus. You have Kalim of Atzilus to thank for everything. Well, what's Kalim of Atzilus? Kalim of Atzilus is Ein Sof in a tziur of Gvul. God doesn't have fingers. The fingers don't impose themselves on him. He can use fingers. The fingers are also him. It's not a stira. Not afraid of fingers. And that's the whole chiddush in this world. Without Kelim of Atzilus, Ein Sof would only live in Ein Sof. The whole idea of Diri B'Tachtoinim is that the finite becomes a manifestation of Ein Sof. Chelek Elikami Mal Mamish means that the neshama, in its purity, knows all of this. That's what it means. Chelek Elikami Mal Mamish means that when you become best friends with your soul, your Nefesh Elikis, the Nefesh Elikis knows, but Nefesh Elikis, this is all clear. The Nefesh Elikis knows this. What do I mean knows it? Not knows it intellectually, but it's like a Shia. This is the Nefesh Elikis. It has this clarity. It's not a Shaila. But the whole idea, the Alter Rebbe wanted, Chassidus Chabad, he wanted the Nefesh Elikis to always have conversations with the Nefesh Abahamas. If I only had a Nefesh Elikis, I would, fine. Neshama shana sata bitahiri, but it came down ata verasa, ata yitzart, ata nafachtabi, it came down pri yitzirasiya. All the way down here. What do I mean down here? I don't mean down here physically. Down here to our perception, so that it can have this conversation with the Nefesh Abahamas and with the Guf. So chelek elikam al mamish means that the neshama, even down here, it has this clarity. It's not interrupted by the static. Its antennas are directly tuned into Ein Sof. In a neshama itself, there's a chelek elikam al mal. There's also endless levels. There's a neshama of asi, a neshama of yitzir, a neshama of bri, a neshama of atzilus. But all neshamas begin in atzilus. What does it mean? It says in Tanya, all neshamas begin in atzilus. What does it mean? That the core, the DNA of the soul knows this. But it can be eclipsed, it can be concealed. You have to open yourself up to your neshama. So this is a very sensitive word. It's a very sensitive, because it's not, you see, people sometimes, it's not like, just have a moon, everything is good. Yeah, have a moon, everything is good. But everything is not good. You know what I mean? So you say, okay, everything is not good. So be honest, everything is not good. In a practical way, those are the two sides. Either go to Ein where everything is good, or go to Kalim and everything is miserable. Like somebody once said, the Eberst is a helfen. So he said, yeah, the Eberst is a helfen, I feel a fight them was a helft. Fight them was a helft. God should help even before he helps. In other words, how do you get there, right? They used to say in Russia, biz de kretschme daf manaychab an abyssal mashka. You know, till you get to the kretschme, you also have to have a drink, right? It's very nice. There's a song, Nyezhiritzi chlopzi. So it says, when we get to the inn, we're going to have everything. Yeah, but over there, but till you get there, and what if this trip to the Kretschmer is taking 20 years? So this is a very sensitive idea. When you say that the gvul is bli gvul, it's not make litzonis from the gvul. That's not the word. Boidei ra means that there's ra. So, but there's no ra, lo yigur charad. So don't give it to God. Don't connect the ra to God. That's what a lot of philosophies did. God is good. Ra has some power. I don't know how it comes about. Totally separated. And God becomes the healer. God is like an unbelievable therapist. You don't blame your therapist for things that happen to you. Fakir, your therapist can hug you and talk to you and give you love and give you comfort. So God is a good therapist. That works very nicely. If God is a therapist and you come to him for your problem, but he has nothing to do with the problem, what happens if your therapist is the one who made all the tzaddis? How do you deal with that? That's already not a pasha to Shaila. You go to your therapist, it's very nice. He's an innocent guy. I can't blame him for what happened. So he could cry with me, geschmack. But he's also the one, you understand what I'm saying? This is not such a funny question. This is a very deep question. So this is where it's very, very sensitive. If I go with my seichel, I can't deal with it. You have to choose this or that. Because the ultimate answer is not an answer. It's not an answer. The ultimate answer lay in the fact that any nekuda, if you trace it back to its true metzius, it's Ein Sof. And over there, there's no shilas. There's no questions. Not because I'm stupid and naive. You want me to answer you? I can't answer you. I'll just say because when you're one with infinity, when everything is Ein Sof, it's Ein Sof. Not it makes sense. It doesn't have to make sense. It's not sense. Sense is a need of measurement. And when I'm in a place of measurement, I can also be detached.
If I live this and I reach Choshech, what is going to be the difference? I'll be able to see God there and...
Practically, you're saying if a person is in a place of darkness, what it means on that level is that I could be present. Present means if I have to cry, I could cry. I'm feeling everything. I'm not a detached machine. You know, sometimes people say, Amuna, 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 and there's nobody to talk to. Because they it's not their fault. They had to detach. There's no emotions. They call it Amuna. It's not Amuna. It's emotional death. I'm not judging. Sometimes the pain is too much. You're emotionally dead. You call it Amuna, but there's no emotions. You can't talk to the person. Here, you could be fully present. That's the Vart. What says fully present? Lamata adin tachlis. And in that presence, there's just something that you're connected to that allows you not to force your understanding of reality into your brain, but to open yourself up to a consciousness that remains infinite in this whole chaos. So you'll say, Rabbi Raya, I don't know what you're talking about. That would be a fair response, because I also don't know what I'm talking about. But I know that what I'm saying is true. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I know that what I'm saying is true. I'll say this, and we're going to see tomorrow, we're going to learn tomorrow, Be'ezer Hashem, continue this with Yosef, so he illustrates it in Avodah. Those who are involved in very spiritual work, which is really what Yiddishkeit is about, know that through Avodah, especially his Hizbeinonus meditation, or there are other means, and I'm talking about serious means, there's a space where you can get out of the enmeshment with all the issues in the world, and you touch a place of pure consciousness. Right? Those who know about Hizbeinonus and real meditation can even practice it on a daily basis. Where we're pulled by our thoughts, right? I have to go to the bank, I'm late for the job, whatever it is, everyone in their own way. Kind thoughts, bad thoughts, but it's thoughts. It's thoughts. And thoughts, by definition, are kalim within kalim within kalim within kalim within kalim. That's why they change every 2 seconds. But could you get to a place of oir? Place of oir, you're not in the kali anymore. Because we have oir and kali in our own brain. And that is where I can watch my thoughts, but I'm not engaged. I'm not defined by the thoughts. So you're like disengaged. And really what you touch then is the chiyus of the world, the consciousness of the world, which is not defined by a particular thought. It's a very, very peaceful place, a very emotional place. It's a place of pure bliss because it's touching oir. And you're really not defined. There's a foreclosure, but my daughter has this, my son this, my wife. It's all good questions. And you have to be a responsible person, obviously, you know. If your house is in the foreclosure, you should try to take care of it so your family has where to live. But there's moments in life where a person goes to that space. And it's very, very hard because we're being pulled, but it's a place of pure consciousness, what we call divinity, elikus. Ah? Huh? Yeah. Which is defined as the consciousness of the universe and where everything is one. Everything is one because everything is one. Ah? Huh? Ah. But that's not the vart of this maimer. That's not the vart of this maimer. There were great spiritual people in history who preached this. And it's a very, very powerful tool. Very powerful tool. But by definition, that's always about disengagement. Always about disengagement. In Far Eastern disciplines, Lahavdil, where this is developed a lot, the key is to stay in that space as much as possible. Ultimately, Alpi Chassidus, that's not the tachlis. In a way, that's a form of spiritual selfishness and spiritual avodah zarah. The Alter Rebbe has a lashon and a maimer. He says, a person says, I want to disengage from everything because I want bliss. So he uses a lashon, there's an expression in Gemara, dayoy la'evet sheyehei kirabai. the Eved doesn't have to be given more than the Rabbi. Let the Eved be his, so he says, Dayoy la Eved sheyeke Rabbi. Nisava kadosh baruch aliyis le dira betachtainim. Mekst oichabana dira betachtainim. God is more infinite than you. God is more blissful than you. He can also be Azaya ain't safe. But what did he want? He wanted a dira betachtainim. So you also come down. Mashakon Eved kana Rabbi. That's the word. In other words, Rabbi wanted a dira betachtainim. The chiddush is Eidin Seif Lamata Adin Tachlos. What when I have to go back into those thoughts? Yeah, I could stay in a meditative space, even if I know how to do it for an hour. There's people who can do it for 2 hours. Let's say you can do it for 6 hours. You can go on a journey that really takes you away, and sometimes it's necessary because if not, you get swallowed up by the abyss. And I have to have moments and times of that disengagement from the enmeshment of Kalim, whatever that means, in order to stay alive, to stay above water. But that's not the Chiddush of Yiddishkeit. The Chiddush of Yiddishkeit, and especially the Chiddush of Chassidus, is when I go back into those thoughts, which I need to because I have to go to the doctor, I have to take my kid to an appointment, I have to go to the bank, I'm running a business, I'm running a website, I'm trying to get an investor, I'm dealing with a problem, I have to go back there. To see that experience and still be there fully and remain anchored in the Ein Sof. That only happens from linking the Gvul to the Bli Gvul. You understand what I'm saying? And the whole tachlis of disengagement is only to be able to engage. If not, it's like Nodav and Aviyu. It's like the people who went into the Pardes, they flew away. It was beautiful. There was no world. Another one of you were very happy people. Aaron was hurt. Another one of you weren't miserable people. They were happy. The Rechaim says they wanted to kiss God, and that's what they did. They kissed God. No sadness. They weren't sad. Ben Azai went into the Pardes. He died. Hitzitz v'meiz. Ben Zayim yotza midaita. Elisha ben Avuya became miserable. He became an apikaris. Rabbi Akiva nichnas b'shalom v'yatzah b'shalom. Why? Rabbi Akiva daya leverage sheyeke rabbi. I didn't create the world. Rabbi Akiva said, this wasn't my plan. Yeah, you want to stay in Ein Sof? Fine. Quit, delete Kalim of Atzilis from your program. But you didn't delete Kalim of Atzilis of your program. Because you wanted a dinner b'tachtayim, so sepast meroich to have a dinner b'tachtayim. And that's much deeper. Because that's where you're touching the ratzon of Hashem. That's where the Ein Sof is real. That ability to be able to connect the two, that is unprecedented. That's the emes. That's the emes of Elikus. Okay, I didn't plan the shiur to be so long, but that's what happens when the kalim are not so limited. Be'ezer Hashem will continue tomorrow morning, Thursday morning, at 8 o'clock a.m.
This class is brought to you by the yeshiva.net. Please help us continue the classes. Make even a small contribution at www.theyeshiva.net/donate.